I never in sermons dealt with Revelation that thoroughly, and that was good. But now we're in Colossians. Colossians is one of the epistles of Paul. Paul wrote letters to churches. He wrote letters to Christians. And the thing about Paul that I want to bring out in this first little section, you know, Paul is an apostle. And how many of us in this room are apostles? Huh? Just me? Is it? Okay. Yeah. So Paul was an apostle. So when we're looking at how Paul is dealing with church and people, it's a little lofty for us. So we do this thing called the abstract ladder. So, you know, Paul is also a discipler. And that's what I want to deal with is, you know, we are hopefully either in a disciple relationship, in other words, we are the disciple, or we are discipling someone. We're helping someone to know God. And so that if we look at it in that way, we can put ourselves right in this conversation with Paul and the church in understanding some of the things that he felt about the church, about disciples, some of the way he prayed especially for disciples. Some of this stuff is really good. When you go through the scriptures and you hear Paul's prayers, it really can inform you on some good things to pray about, things that we might not think of all the time. Usually, if you ever go to a Sunday school class, right, not ours, but like I've gone to visit churches and speak there, and I sit in these, and everybody just goes through all their sicknesses, all their symptoms, and that's what they pray about. And the scripture doesn't have much like that at all when it comes to prayer. And so there's a lot that in this discipling relationship that is about the discipler praying for disciples, praying for them, for their needs. So first we'll start off, this is Colossians 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. So, you know, first of all, the idea of this relationship, you can be in both. You can be a discipler and you can be discipled at the same time, right? I hope we're in those relationships, but you also want to hope that God is the one that put that relationship together. Sometimes when you're in a relationship with somebody and it's a spiritual relationship, don't take for granted that God didn't put that together. Right? In other words, actually go the other way. Take acknowledgement that, okay, there's a reason why you're in my life. There's a reason why we're in this room. It isn't by accident. I don't believe in accidents. I believe in God. And that, so God puts us in these relationships so that we can grow, so that we can be, you know, accomplishing the work of Christ together. And so here he's talking about his call is, again, by the will of God. And he is talking to the disciples. And who are they? They are holy. Remember, we talked about this in Revelation. Holy. It means that they belong to God, that they are setting their hearts to live a life the way God would have it lived, which makes them different than everybody else in the society. In our society, there are a lot of different areas that if you're a serious Christian and you're walking with God, the way you view marriage, the way you view, bodies and you know, what we do with babies, so many different ways that we differ from our culture because the Word of God, you know, teaches us. So that's holy. So one of the things about a disciple wants to be holy. Disciple wants to be different, want to be God's people, and faithful. We want to be faithful in the sense of holding on to Jesus Christ, holding on to the Word of God, trusting in the things that God has given us, right? So Paul's just acknowledging this relationship as discipler-disciple and the qualifications, the call of God, and the desire for holiness and faithfulness in the group there. So he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored for you in heaven, that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. One of the most wonderful things, and if you've had this, you know, you don't have to be a pastor or a leader. I, as a person, just a member of a church, there was a young man that I had opportunity to spend a summer with. You know, we played tennis together, and we went to church together, and we talked a lot. And you know, God used our relationship, and it changed his life. You know, God changed his life over that summer. And it was just really awesome. One of the things that happens in a discipling relationship is when God does something, it gives you cause to thank God, right? You know, we're instruments at very best. We're the instruments of God. We're giving God's word. We're praying in the Spirit. We're seeking God's goodness for each other. And when we see evidence of that, it's exciting. It really is. It's exciting when we see God working in someone else's life. I mean, I was excited when God worked in my life. But, you know, how many times have we seen when God works in somebody else's life and we've had some little part to play in that, it's awesome. It's encouraging. It validates who we are. It validates, you know, what we believe. It validates the gospel that, you know, the gospel works. The gospel changes hearts and lives. The gospel gives strength and encouragement, right? It makes our labor make sense. You know, we do a lot of work around here. And, you know, when you do a lot of work around here, sometimes you say, man, this is, you know, what a pain. You know, we're setting up chairs. We're cleaning floors. We're doing all this stuff all the time. You know, cooking meals and doing all this stuff. You know, what's it all about? You know, just a place to hang out? No. We're looking for the work of God. And whenever we see God working in somebody's life, it's, okay, now I know why, you know, we're setting up chairs and cleaning floors or doing whatever else. And again, I'm just using the church as an example. But, you know, why invest yourself in relationships? Why invest yourself in getting texted at 3 a.m, you know, getting phone calls at, you know, when it's not, quote, you know, convenient or whatever? Because it's important. When you see God's work, you say, yeah, you know, text me anytime. You know, call me anytime, right? Because I want to see God work in life. And so Paul says, yeah, I give thanks to God and I think about you. And there's two evidences that he says. First of all, your faith in Jesus Christ. That you know, and again, it's so important. It's so important. It's not faith in the discipler. Paul doesn't say your faith in me. Right? He doesn't say that. It doesn't say, you know, I thank God because you believe in me. No, it's I thank God because you believe in Jesus Christ. Next week we'll talk about the centrality of Christ in all this work. But the idea is when someone's life changes, it's not because of the discipler. It's because of, if the discipler is doing a good job, it's because of Jesus Christ. We lead people to Christ. You know, Paul says this in Corinthians. He says, listen, some of us sow seeds, some of us water. You know, we're servants. And like to say, oh, man, you know, you're such a good. It'd be like praising someone for being a really good, you know, cleaner of a bathroom or something. You know, you clean bathrooms so well. You're so awesome. I give you all credit. No. We're servants, you know. It's God doing the work. It's God that gets, you know, we can talk. And, you know, we can talk. We can pray. We can beg, you know, for lives to be changed. But, you know, we can't change one thing. We don't have that power. Only God has the power to change a life. Paul says, one waters, one sows, but God is the one that gives the increase. God is the one that causes growth. Now, that's good news, right? Because if you're growing, that means God's working in you. It's not just the, you know, something happens. You know, listen, I've known people that get this mixed up. The discipler becomes everything to them, and then the discipler is gone, you know? And then what do? If they don't have a relationship with God or they don't have a relationship with the church, you know, what happens? Their faith falls apart. I've literally seen faith fall apart because it was just one person and it was only the relationship with the discipler, and that was all they had. And when that discipler went away, man, their whole religious walk was destroyed. You want that relationship to be pointed and driven and growing by Jesus. So it's your faith in Jesus Christ. And then the love of the saints, right? It's not just, you know, I believe in Jesus. We talk about that as a telephone booth religion. You know, just me and Jesus. I got no time for you. It's just me. You know, that's not working. That's not what God planned. God has us working upward and outward. You know, one of the ways that you know God's working in people's lives is that they care about the other people where God is working. It doesn't say, I love everybody. He says, your love for all the saints. Your love for, and remember, what's that word saint means? Holy ones. All those people that are on the same road trying to do it, you know, trying to get right, trying to be God's people. You love people that are on that journey with you, right? So he says, I give thanks because I see God working in you, both in your faith in Jesus Christ and that you love the people that God is working in. We're excited about that, right? We care about that. You know, another place he says, you know, if one of us is hurting, who doesn't hurt, right? That's why sometimes being a disciple is a painful thing. It depends on how many relationships you have and what have you. But, you know, people get hurt. People get physically hurt. People go through hard things. And when they hurt and when they go through hard things, you go through it with them. You know, you hurt too. You're feeling everything they're feeling and experiencing that empathy with them. But that's part of the family, right? We talk about the church as a family sometimes, and the idea that, you know, when God starts working in us and all of a sudden we have a relationship with people that's very different than DNA. It's a relationship of spiritual things, of heart and hope and everything else. And that's why he says, you know, the faith and the love, it's all about the ultimate hope of being with God, the ultimate hope of the kingdom of God, which we spend a lot of time talking about in the book of Revelation. So here you have a real, you know, reason to give thanks when you see God working. It says you've already heard about the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Over all the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. The gospel is at the center of this work. It's kind of foundational to the work of God. It's hearing. That's why, like with all the kids, I teach them those five verses and the five colors that gives them a real basic understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gospel is the thing that changes lives. It's the thing that you know, opens our heart to God and helps us to, you know, believe. The gospel, God's work is in the gospel. It's through the gospel. Wherever the word of God is preached, God reaches people, right? You know, one of the things that happened when I moved into this neighborhood 30 years ago, there were people here who just out and out said, the people of this neighborhood will not hear the gospel. They will not come to church ever, you know. And it's been, it's still a struggle, right? We're not packing out the house or anything. But I've seen God change lives in this neighborhood. I've seen hard cases become soft-hearted, godly people. I've seen God. You know, so my point is the gospel works in every circumstance. The gospel is powerful. The work of Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit, the Word of God, those things are effective and powerful. And that, again, is what makes us disciples and disciples, is the work of God doing wonders. It bears fruit. He says, you know, this gospel is bearing fruit. That's one of the ways, you know, how do you know? So how many of you know someone who knows all the right words to say? You know, they can tell you, I mean, I was like that. I knew the Bible well enough. I could tell you everything you needed to be saved. I could tell you who Jesus was. The guy that first tried to talk to me about the Bible, and I'd add on to what he was saying. I knew more than he did about the Bible, but he was walking with God and I wasn't, right? And, you know, there are a lot of people that can do that. It was when Jesus Christ seriously came into my heart and all of a sudden the fruit was different. It wasn't just knowing about God, but it was about the way I talked. It was about the things I wanted to do. It was about being a whole different kind of person, and that's what the work of God does. And so he says, this gospel bears fruit wherever it goes. One of the most awesome things, if you ever get to go like overseas or go to some place where they don't speak your language or whatever, but you're a Christian, and you find other Christians, all of a sudden, you know, you have people that understand you and relate to you, you know, as well as anyone else, because the same work of God goes on in them. So he says, bearing fruit, it's a global thing. It's not just here. There are people all over the world. You know, we pray about our brother Chemezi. Chemezi and I, we're not, quote, theologically the same, but we are brothers in Christ. We both love the Lord. We both share the gospel. And God uses him as much as anybody else, you know, to do good work, right? So God uses people, you know, Epaphras. I don't know that he's mentioned anywhere else. But here he's mentioned, Paul lived in Ephesus for a while, and this guy, Colossae, was a little way away. So it seems like, you know, he was a disciple of Paul, and Paul sent him out to go preach to the people in Colossae. So he's now writing them. So here, you know, again, we've talked about the idea of becoming a disciple, the work of the gospel. And then here is some of the prayer that I was talking about. Says, for this reason, because you've heard the gospel, because you've committed yourself to faithfulness, because you are loving the saints, says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will and through all spiritual understanding. So there's you know, he's praying. Now, here's a prayer. Do you pray for this? Not just for yourself, but for others. God, I pray, and I pray for you. Seriously, if you know God, you know, all I do then is encourage you to remember what you already know. In other words, I'm not trying to you know, teach you something or force something into your heart and mind that's not already there. You know God, right? And so we pray, you know, God, give us spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding. What does that mean? It says in Corinthians, it says that the only way we know God is that the Spirit of God helps us to understand who God is. We know the things of God by the Spirit of God. Now, of course, the Word of God is part of that because it was written by the Spirit of God. And so that wisdom of God comes into our heart, comes into our mind, and it changes the way we think. And he's saying, you know, I pray that people would have spiritual wisdom and understanding. The word here is actually epignosis, so that you would know totally what God's will is. One of the things that we must do as God's people, as disciples, is we must live according to the will of God. We don't do things just based upon what everybody around us says is okay. We don't listen to the psychologists and let them guide us in truth. We listen to God. We listen to the truth of the Word of God. We listen to the Spirit of God. And we let the Spirit of God lead us in truth, lead us towards following the way that God intended us to be from the beginning, right? And so that's a prayer. I'm praying, God, help us, Lord. Help us to know you. Help us to understand you. Help us to really know at the deepest level what you want from us. What would please you? And that's not only something, you know, because you can see praying for yourself that way, right? But praying for others that way. Praying for your disciples that way. That's how Paul is praying for the church. He's praying that they would understand and know the will of God so they could conform to the likeness of God, to the glory of Christ, to serving his community, carrying out his purposes. Every discipler prays for disciples. We want people to go deeper. You know, at the end of this, if you think about it, how deep does that go? When do I say I know God completely? You know? When do I say I know everything there is about God? So you're praying for a deeper walk for disciples. Every one of us. God help us to be deeper, right? And then he says, and I just added this little parenthesis so you know he's still talking about prayer. You know, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. The will of God, folks, is attached to that. Some people use the will of God in so many different ways. Is it God's will that I buy a Chevy or a Ford? To be honest, I don't think God cares, okay? You know, your in-laws, they might care, right? Yeah. I got those problems too. But God cares not so much about those things as who we are. God cares about who I am in Jesus Christ. That's what he cares about, right? He wants us to live a life. Think of that. Philippians says something very similar. You know, live a life worthy of the gospel. Live a life worthy of the Lord. And we just did Good Friday and Easter, and we talked about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the power of that. And he's saying, live a life that is worthy of God sending his only son, of the only son submitting to the cross and dying for us, for Christ forever being changed into one of us so that he could take our sins. All of that. Live a life worthy of that gospel. Live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, that way you please him. One of the sweetest things that we can know is that God's pleased with us. You know? God's, you know, to be honest, if God's happy with me, I don't care what you say. You know what I mean? I mean, say what you want about me, but God's happy, you know? Who else's opinion matters above God's? And I'm hoping that if God's pleased with you, there's a lot of people that will also be pleased, you know? But that idea, I want this, you know? And so Paul's praying this. I want you to be able to live that life that pleases God in every way. Bearing fruit. See, now notice that he gets to doing the good work, because this stuff includes work. Bearing fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, faith. If you want to go to the fruit of the Spirit, doing what's right in God's eyes, works of justice and such. But that comes right out of who we are. It's not what makes us who we are. It's who we are that produces the fruit. Growing in the knowledge, again, growing in the knowledge of God. Deeper walk with God. This is how Paul is praying for the church, that there would be work in a way that shows we know God better and better all the time. And then the second part he says, in being strengthened with all power. Now I like this. Being strengthened with all power. You know, one of the reasons why I love to worship, because that's a lot of times that's where I find my strength. When I call upon the Lord with you and we're worshiping God together, there's like, you know, God strengthens us. And it's so important. Listen, I can't tell you how important that is, because, you know, all the things that we know that we're not getting right and all the things we know that we could do better in, that won't help us. I told this to the young people on Friday night. You can't do it just because you know it needs to be done. You need strength beyond yourself within you to help you do what's right. So he's praying, and that you would be strengthened with power, with all power. And it's really like the two words are dunamis and dudamis. It's like, I want you to be strengthened by his strengthening power, okay? According to his glorious might. Now, I can be strong according to my idea of what strong is. But when Paul, and this is, by the way, he says the same thing in Ephesians, same idea. I want you to be strengthened in your inner man according to the riches of according to his riches in glory. According to his glorious might. How strong can I be? How strong can I be if Almighty God makes me strong? How strong can I be? Now, what's the strength for? Moving mountains? healing the sick, walking on water, changing water to wine. Okay, just checking. So that you can endure, and so that you can be patient, and so that you can be joyful. Now, what you think about those three terms in face of what we learn in Revelation. Yeah, it's about holding on to our faith in Jesus Christ. It's about walking through this desert of the world and holding ourselves together, believing in God, walking with God, and still being able to celebrate God, still being able to praise God, to worship Him, to enjoy Him, right, through the desert, right? That's why we need the strength of the Lord. So these are things Paul's praying for. He's praying for God to give us strength, God to give us an inward working power that we can do what is pleasing to Him. Do we pray like that? Don't nod your heads and stuff. But do we pray for these things? See, the only reason why I know to pray for these things is because I've read Ephesians and Colossians. And they both say the same thing. It's like, this is how Paul prays for people. He prays, God, help them to have their hearts open. Help them to have their minds full of understanding of who you are. Help us, Lord God, to walk in your will and your ways. Give us strength, God. Give us power. That's how we pray as disciples for disciples. It's awesome when we see God do these things because it literally changes lives. I mean, this is absolutely these things that he's listing out. It literally changes lives. So then he says, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Now we're going to pick this up next time. But again, thanking God, you know, because all the work, all the walking with God, the you know, getting His will right, being His person, all of that is awesome, you know. But it points to the future. It points to eternity. It points to our adoption into the family of God. When God is doing that work in us, yes, it's nice now, and yes, we're challenged now, but ultimately it points to the idea that I get to live with God. I get to be with Him forever. I am already becoming His. See? So it's that stamp of adoption. It's the validation of the work of salvation God's doing in us to have that work. So a discipler prays. Discipler prays for people, right? We want to see God work in people's lives. We want to see love and faith. We want to know the gospel's been heard. We want to see the fruit of God in them growing, right? The fruit of God inside of growing. Praying for spiritual knowledge. Do you know God? Say, yeah. Do you know Him completely? No. So do we stop praying? Never, you know. God, we need to know you. Higher and deeper knowledge of God. To know the power of God. This is one of the most sad things to see in a disciple is a disciple not having the power to go through trials. Stumble, fall, give up. I've seen it, you know, and it's sad. I mean, there, you know, you talk about physical death does not hurt as much as that. Because, you know, with physical death and someone's walking in the way all the way, praise God. You know, he finished the race. He ran the course. But spiritual, you know, falling, that's hard. That's hard to can give you bad dreams, you know. We give thanks to God for all the work that He's doing. You know, one of the things that I always want to remind us is Jesus said about God that He is always working. And that means He's working right now. He's working in us. He's working in this space. He's working in lives. And I thank God for all that work. I thank God for every time I see it, every time I see, you know, a little little growth spurt every time I see witness of God doing something awesome, changing a life. It is reason for praise. It's reason for thanks. And we just pray, God, keep going, please. God, keep going. Keep growing us, all right? All right. So this is how I was able to, you know, kind of put this text into a context for us by thinking in terms of discipleship. Remember to pray for those whom God's put in your life as you're, you know, someone you're helping, discipling. Sometimes it's a partnership, right? It doesn't have to be clear roles, but be praying for each other in this way. Just look at this text, you know, and think about it. And just remember those things that he's told us that he prayed about, the apostle prayed. It would do us good to do the same. Yeah? Amen. Amen. Let me pray with you, indeed. And dear Father, I do pray for this congregation, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for all of us together. Lord God, first that we would indeed know you, that we would know you better than we have known you, that we learn, Lord God, through that knowledge to understand perfectly your will. What is it you want me to be? What is it you want us to have in our heart, in our mind? What is it, Lord, in our lives that we need to cast away? What do we do, Almighty God, to be the person you called us to be? Help us, Almighty God, we pray that the fruit of Christ's labor on the cross would be evident in our lives, Lord God. That we, Lord, would show the work of Jesus Christ in how we think and how we live, that others might see as well, Lord, to the glory of our Savior, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen us in our inner being. Make us strong and powerful, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to bear the name of Christ throughout our lives and to never give up, to never surrender to despair, but to hold to our faith and to trust in you. And when it gets hard, Lord, to lift our eyes up to the hills and know there's a living God who sees us, there's a living God who cares about us, and that he will not let us fall. He will not let us falter. He will hold us all the way. Bless us, Almighty God, I pray. Bless us with these things and teach us, Lord, to pray for others in this way. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you. Amen. Yeah, bud.
thank you so much for everything you've done to bring us to this point, Lord God. We thank you for calling us to you. We thank you for putting your word in our hearts and in our minds, Lord God, for giving us your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that as we do your work, that we would remember what you want us to do and who you want us to be, and that we would remember to pray that for the people we're trying to help as well, Lord Jesus. And we pray that all of us would grow in you, grow in the knowledge of you, and grow in your power to live for you, to live without sin, to live in righteousness.